Well, Matthew chapter 2 in your Bibles. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Thanks to Daniel the prophet, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Don't believe verse 8. Believe verse 16 about Herod's intent. Verse 16 says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked to the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and at all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." Herod was as evil an individual as God ever let lived. Verse 9, "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let me give you three simple yet very sacred lessons that we see in this portion of Scripture. First of all, there is a lesson of worship basic to the Christian this time of year is worship, and I hope that that is preeminent in your life, where we ascribe and affirm worth to God. He is worthy of our love and our adoration in all that we do. You've heard this so many times. Wise men still worship him. There's two times when you ought to worship. First of all, when everything goes right in your life, you should worship. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You talk about everything going right in good King Jehoshaphat's life, this is one of the times. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in has his aunt Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. There's a blueprint here for us as a nation tonight when we face difficulty. There's a blueprint that is given. This is what we should do. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? I hope that you take time to read the wonderful prayers that are given in the Old Testament. And this is one of them, so direct to the point. Let's begin verse 6 again. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? They dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword or judgment or COVID, that's what pestilence is talking about, folks. There's a blueprint here. Or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast out to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat, the leader, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. How did it end? Look at verse 24 and verse 25. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and not a one of them escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. My goodness. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. When should we worship? First of all, when everything goes right in our life, we are to get on our face before God and say, "Oh God, thank you." There's another time when we should worship, and that is when everything goes wrong. Go with me to the book of Job, of course. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 14. And please understand, ladies and gentlemen, this was brought about because of a conversation between God and Satan. This is what happened. It's not because Job was a bad man, anything like that, which he was accused of by his friends later. But listen to this. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep, the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and had carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. But the worst is coming." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house." And I bet Job was thinking, "Oh God, please, not my kids." And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his family. But here's what he did. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is a time of worship. We are to worship when everything goes right and when everything goes wrong and every time in between. Okay. Second of all, there's a lesson in giving. Back in Matthew 2, they gave gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It is right that we give gifts at Christmas. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And we'll begin reading in verse 34. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then said the king unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then said the righteous, Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So what's our example in giving? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's how we should give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. These were just dirt poor people, but they gave abundantly. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and that is the beginning of all our giving to God. We are never more like our Savior than when we give ourselves to him and then to others. At Christmas each year, we give all of our missionaries, and we have 35 or so mission endeavors, and we will give all of our missionaries an additional $200 this month. It's just part of our mission giving, and we're happy to do it. And folks, don't let that go by you without you saying, how can I get involved in that? It's so important. Some of the sweetest letters I receive all year long, some from missionaries that just say, thank you for the missions offering. It was so needed. These missionaries have kids, and they're living on a fixed income. And when we send them extra money, it's going to be the difference between some kid on a mission field getting a present or not. Okay. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Luke chapter 10. And let's begin reading in verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life. When he said, what shall I do to inherit? If you're going to inherit something, you don't have to do anything. That's what inherit means. You get something for nothing. And he's saying, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Not all attorneys are geniuses. And he said unto him, what is written in the law, and how readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. I told you a couple of weeks ago, if you do that, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself, you have done life right. Okay? Last of all, there's a lesson in humility. God leaving glory with all the implied honor and majesty of the Creator of the universe. There were angels that followed him around and simply said, holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty. And he was willing to leave that and come to this old dusty earth and be despised and rejected of man for us. Go with me now to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read the first 8 verses here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. In the original language, that reads more like this. Since there is consolation in Christ. We're not asking a question like, well, maybe there is, maybe there's not. That's not what it's meaning at all. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, since there is consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know what that's talking about, folks? You treat everybody else better than you should be treated. That's how you are to treat others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the thing of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It is not Bethlehem with all its sweet appeal that saves us. It is the cross, rough and cruel, an instrument of death that saves us. Let's end with John chapter 19. One of the stories of the crucifixion. John, when he wrote his gospel, he was declaring the deity of Jesus Christ. Let's begin reading in verse 23 of John chapter 19. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, oh my goodness, took his garments and made 4 parts, to every soldier a part and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister and Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, we know it's talking about John, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. John, take care of my mama. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Tetelestai. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son. Help us to have that kind of humility where we give ourselves back to you. John would write in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Oh, Father, help us to do it. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. Thank you for saving our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.